Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, sometimes I get caught up and involved in the broadcast, fail to remind you often that all you need to do is dial that telephone number, 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're online listening to this broadcast, you can dial 904-831-0917 to join in the dialogue and discussion on a very important issue today. We're talking about just when do Christians lose our rights, our Bill of Rights we're talking about. When do Christians lose the Bill of Rights? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered why it is that the BLM, that's the Black Lives Matter, rioting, burning, pillaging, shooting at police, burning down police headquarters buildings, Antifa, pro-abortion murderers, demonstrators in front of our Supreme Court justices' homes, illegals crossing the borders, and thugs in the streets seem to have the rights, and Christians in society today have no rights? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever analyzed that? We'll be talking about that on this broadcast today. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. Do you believe that the Christians, at any juncture, at any point, with any issue, should lose the Bill of Rights, or that we do not warrant the Bill of Rights, or that somehow, some way, Christians in general, churches and pastors, have no Bill of Rights? Do you believe that somehow, some way, the Constitution and therein our Bill of Rights do not apply to Christians and churches and pastors? Love to hear from you today. That's what we'll be talking about in this broadcast. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. I call it the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our program's dedicated to the seeking of truth, facing the issues based on the Scripture. John 8, 31 and 32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made a profound statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Let me just pause there. It indicates that if we do not continue in the word of God, do not continue to study the word and involve ourselves in knowing the word of God, that we are in fact a non-disciple. It's very clear in the text. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Word indeed means truly, surely, actually. And ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. The truth of the word of God sets us free in Christ. We have that liberty today. And our liberties, ladies and gentlemen, are given to us by natural law, as it is called, which is the law of God. We have it codified in our Constitution through what we call the Bill of Rights. And that should have no division in relationship to who it applies to as citizens. And then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus makes a declaratory statement, I am truth. He further states in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that makes us free. But that which we talk about and calling it truth is jeered at, made fun of, ridiculed, dissed, cast aside. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be very vibrant, very real, taking place in our world today, especially in America. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Live the truth. Tell the truth. Defend the truth, even to death. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? The 15th century theologian, Jan Hus, says we need to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And this is what this broadcast is about, is defending the truth each and every day. That's the purpose. That's the format. That's the rationale. That's the passion. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand, landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Street number is 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. I'm told it's about 165 feet there. Old Glory, the U.S. flag, is flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing you to worship with your family, the house of God, the church of God, as God's word intends for it to be for the Christian, for the child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview and see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about another minute, then we'll introduce our first caller. But ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the subject, I want us to think about it very seriously. We have a Bill of Rights. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Let's begin with that again. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today, and may I state again, that it seems as though the thugs in the street, the BLM rioters, it seems as though the Antifa rioters, it seems as though the pro-abortion murderers and the demonstrators in front of the Supreme Court justices' homes and illegals crossing the border. In fact, Joe Biden is now talking about giving all of the illegals federal ID cards. Once they get a federal ID card, ladies and gentlemen, they can vote. They will be able to vote. That's being done in advance of the 2022 election and the 2024 election. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about is, it seems to me, and you can correct me if you think it's wrong, if you find something different, it seems to me that all of these elements of society seem to have more recognition of a, quote, Bill of Rights or for freedoms and liberties than we're experiencing as Christians, as churches, as pastors. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset that under certain circumstances, in certain positions, in certain areas, on certain days, in certain climates, that our Bill of Rights simply diminish, especially when we're talking about political issues as it is called today. So what is a political issue? Where is the line drawn that says this is political, this is societal, and this is biblical? We'll talk about that. First of all, I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for your program. But I know you said something about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter do not matter with these babies. Only thing that matters with them is the money.
That's right.
Black Lives Matter, they would have helped. Like, I think it was the Guardian Angels or something had the red turbans.
Yes.
You know, walk the streets of New York. They would get a coalition. Instead, they're in mansions. No, you couldn't afford them. And having the borders open, I know every country, even around the world, they're sending their, everybody, they're taking them out of jail and prisons and sending them over here. They want complete chaos. This administration, Puppet Joe, Obama, and George Soros. George Soros hate America anyway, but America made him rich. And you're going to turn your back. You know, it's sad. But the preachers, I'm getting on the preachers, though.
That's
they are afraid to go against this LGBTQ. I still call them gay. I don't care. I love them. I love them, but I hate to say them. But don't you try to indoctrinate my grandkids into your agenda, trying to change us into Sodom and Gomorrah. And if God do not judge us, you're going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is not going to apologize.
You're right, absolutely. Kenneth, you're exactly right. Let me ask you a question, brother, while we have you on the line today. Do you see, is it your view, is it your position, or have you considered this, that it seems as though all of these ill, immoral, ungodly elements in society are given freeway, right of way, and liberties and freedoms, but let a Christian stand up and speak up. Let a Christian stand and try to pray in Jesus' name in a public forum. Let a Christian stand and say, this candidate I believe is the one we need to vote for. And it seems as though that there's a crushing hammer that says you can't talk about that. Do you believe that there are certain areas that Christians can't talk about? Or do you believe that all elements of our conversation should be open and free for Christians, just as for the rest of society?
Just like the Constitution said, freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
Freedom of speech. We should have the right.
In the Constitution, Kenneth, in the Constitution, and you just touched on it so aptly, in the Constitution it doesn't say that it doesn't say now Congress shall make laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech for everyone except for Christians. That doesn't say that. It includes the Christian. In fact, it was written from a Christian perspective of being able to give the freedoms and the liberties to Christians and to the society and citizens in general. But I'm finding today, Kenneth, and I don't know if you see it or not, I see the repression of Christian liberties taking place every day at the hand of Sleepy Joe Biden, and at the hand of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, at the hand of Pencil Neck, as they call him, in the House, and multitudes of laws and rules and regulations, and the 90-some-odd executive orders by Joe Biden, and according to Tony Perkins, he says 80% of the executive orders by Joe Biden are against faith, family, and our freedom. Now, I believe that is true completely. And we're seeing more and more of the repression of Christian liberties and Christian free speech today.
I also, too. That's what I'm saying. They're trying to turn this into a third world country.
Yes.
They're trying to destroy the Constitution.
Yes, absolutely.
All of them need to go to trial under the Constitution.
Well, this is the reason I say, especially in an election season that we're in, Christians need to voice their opinions. Christians, churches, and pastors need to stand, and pastors need to grow a spine and speak about the election in the pulpit and talk about the candidates, vet the candidates, make recommendations to the congregation as to what they find the candidate's alignment with the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I believe it's the pastor's responsibility, according to Ezekiel 33, to be the watchman on the wall, warning of dangers to come based on what we see taking place on a day-to-day basis. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up. Keep standing up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today. Kenneth and I were just briefly discussing it. Is there a time when the Bill of Rights should not apply to Christians? Is there a time that we lose our Bill of Rights? Is there a time when the Christians will lose their right of free speech? For example, Coach Joe Kennedy, because he, at the conclusion of a game, would kneel on the 50-yard line publicly, right on the sports field, kneel and pray and thank God for the game, whether they had won or not. That's the liberties in our Bill of Rights. That's his liberty of religion, the freedom of speech and the exercise thereof. And yet he was prosecuted and persecuted. Took about 6 or 7 years to ultimately get to the U.S. Supreme Court. Supreme Court, as you know, just the past few weeks, ruled that Joe Kennedy had the right and the liberty and the freedom based on our Bill of Rights to do exactly what he had done. And yet it was he was demeaned and his reputation shredded as a result of what he was doing. Think about the Christian baker who refused to bake a cake for the sodomite, a sodomite wedding. Sweet cakes, bake shop. I believe the man's name was Phillips. He was persecuted and prosecuted, went all the way to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court remanded it back to the state Supreme Court. Supreme Court remanded it back to the appeals court. And they're now, they're still fighting that issue, and he's been battling now for years and years and years. Does a Christian baker, a Christian florist, a Christian coach, do Christians lose our Bill of Rights and our right of religious expression, our rights of free speech? Is there a time, and this is what I want you to respond to, ladies and gentlemen, 831-0917, is there a time that Christians must be silent? Is there a time that Christians must sit down and hide in a closet and say nothing about the issues, about the candidates? Is there a time that there's a political arena taking place as of today, as in today's marketplace where there's an election cycle building up to the November election, building up to the 2024 election? Should Christians be silent and say nothing about the candidates? Should Christians not vet the candidates? Should Christians not even vote? Is that what our liberal, woke, cancel culture society is now saying to us today? And the ladies and gentlemen, the mindset is that a Christian ought not to talk about political issues. Now, I want to hear from you, 831-0917. What is a political issue that a Christian ought not to talk about? Abortion is not a political issue. Abortion is an issue of murder, and murder is an issue that's found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And yet, if Christians talk about it, the pro-life movement, as it is called today, somehow, some way, we need to be silenced and we need to shut up. Are they going to burn the building, bomb the building, and put the pro-life organizations out of business? And yet the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, is saying nothing, is doing nothing, as this continues to be rampant across America today. Is that to be understood then, that the Christian pro-life movement should be silent, say nothing, and do nothing? Is that what we're to understand today based on what is taking place? What is a political issue? Have you considered that? If I were to stand in the pulpit and talk about Joe Biden and his ineptness, based on the authority of the Word of God, that I need to take a stand for leadership, and the leadership should honor God, and the leadership should be subservient to God and to God's Word. If I were to say anything about that, am I talking about a political issue or a biblical, moral, ethical issue that ought to be discussed? I want to know what you think, ladies and gentlemen, what you believe. What is your position? Do you just remain silent and say, let the political world have its way? That is not biblical, I don't think, ladies and gentlemen. Very simply, if a Christian pastor and a Christian church have views that align with what the Bible clearly says, today it is called a political issue. We're facing a legacy, ladies and gentlemen, of intolerance in our society, a legacy of intolerance. The mindset is today that the secularized society ought to be dominant in every thought, every action, every reaction, every response needs to be subservient to that woke cancel culture that is antithetical to anything that's called morals and ethics and values. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm a little weary with seeing Christians bow and bend and coming up with the idea, you know, there's a wall of separation of church and state. And the wall of separation of church and state, the Constitution forbids us from saying anything about murder by way of abortion. The wall of separation of church and state forbids us from talking about political relations. The wall of separation, ladies and gentlemen, that is simply, there's a Greek word for that, and I've used this term. It's called horse feathers. No such thing as wall of separation of church and state. We're going to talk about that extensively on this broadcast today. Where did it come from? How is it applied? And why is it applied only to Christians and pastors and churches today? If there is a conservative Christian pastor with a conservative Christian church in society today, the woke cancel culture says that we ought to be silent and say nothing. And I believe we have multitudes across America of what we could call conservative Christians in conservative Christian churches with conservative Christian pastors, with conservative Christian congregations, that it's time we stand up, speak up, and as a wave across America, as a juggernaut going across our land, that we can move America back to center with what God's Word says that we ought to be in society. I believe that it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. The leaders on the left today will default to the old worn term and the excuse of separation of church and state, and their rationale is trying to silence Christians and pastors and churches in our nation today, especially during an election cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, what about the LGBTQIP agenda today? Is that political? Or is it biblical? The sodomite lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, is a biblical issue, a biblical subject that ought to be delved into, ought to be viewed based on the authority of the Word of God. God's Word doesn't call the sodomites homosexuals. God's Word doesn't call the sodomites today gays. They're called sodomites. And yes, we at one time, and we've done it several times down through the years, and the local Action News just ran a hit piece on First Conservative Baptist Church and me as pastor because of where our stand on a black conservative Christian Republican candidate for the sheriff in the city of Jacksonville. I believe I can call Action News racist because they're saying that we ought not to say anything about that candidate. And I think it's because all of the other candidates are loose, lax, lost liberals, which the media stands for. I believe that we have the right to take a stand morally and ethically and biblically and search out. In fact, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, it clearly states that it is God's election guide. We need to search out men that are able men, men that fear God, men that are not going into office for the gravious means and methodology of getting money, but men that fear God, that honor God, that are able men. Very clearly, God spells out the type of men we need to vet, and I believe as Christians, as a pastor, and as a church, we need to vet the candidates and openly say, this is who God, this is the one that meets the requirement in God's election guide in the Scripture. But somehow, some way, there's a mindset that that's off limits. That's out of the realm of the territory that's available for Christians. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you some questions. Abortion, murder by way of abortion, is not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. The LGBTQIP agenda is not a political issue. It is a biblical issue. The critical race theory that divides society is not a political issue. It is a biblical issue because God created only one race, and it's the human race. Anything other than that, we're dividing by ethnicity in our nation, and it will destroy the nation, according to Jesus in Matthew the 12th chapter, verse 25 and 26. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please. Hello? We lost Tom. Maybe he'll call back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what the loose, lax, lost liberals want to point their waggy little fingers at us and accuse the Christians, the conservatives, and the pastors that y'all not to talk about these things because they're political issues. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not one word in our First Amendment that says that there is a division, a bifurcation of the speech. It just simply says, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, when I stand in the pulpit, I've not lost my Bill of Rights. When I take on the role and position of an ordained minister, submitting myself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, I've not abandoned, eviscerated, shredded, or annihilated my Bill of Rights. And no one else can do that for me. I still have the right of the freedom of speech. And I'm going to exercise that until Jesus calls me home. And I pray that every Christian, every pastor will take that position even as I'm speaking. I believe we have Tom back on the line. Go ahead, Tom, with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I'm really enjoying your broadcast today. Of course, I do every day, but I'm sure you've been down to St. Augustine and seen the old fort. It was built by the Spanish, and that's a remnant of a world power. Spain was a world power, just like England, long before America. But that's Spain is not anymore. But you, Dr. Youngblood, are a remnant of the voices of thunder. There's a young politician, when John Adams was old, asked him, he said, how did you unite the American people for the revolution? He said, oh, we didn't do it. He said, the voices of thunder did it. The voices from the pulpit. And I can only remember one was Whitfield. Mm-hmm. And that's how we really got America, got the revolution and got our independence, was from the church. So to back up what you're saying, these lost, lax, liberal pastors, they're going to lose this country if they don't stand up for it and help you. But Dr. Youngblood, I thank you so much. And I'm calling on the listeners to call in if they believe what you're saying, call in and let's hear them say that they support this and support the broadcast with both their voices and their pocketbook. And thank you, and God bless you.
Absolutely. Tom, you're right on, spot on with what you're saying. In fact, you go back to the formation of America, and the fundamental foundational rationale behind it was voices from the pulpits that were taking a stand for morals and ethics and values, taking a stand for what God's Word says that we have the authority to do. We have become so watered down. In fact, it was in the April issue of Decision Magazine that Franklin Graham made the statement about progressive Christians and progressive churches and progressive Christianity. Now, that's a term that's used today. Let me just simply say it is the same idea that I get when I think about the pop-up churches with the pop-up preachers with the pop-up music with the goosebump theology, the cotton candy theology that together makes voodoo theology and multitudes, as Franklin Graham said in the April issue of Decision Magazine, multitude will go to hell, be sent to hell, led to hell by progressive Christianity today. And with progressive Christianity, they will embrace everything that is immoral, ungodly, and unholy because they want to appease the world so the world, the woke cancel culture, does not come against them. But ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear. If the world hated Christ, if the world persecuted him, the world's going to persecute and hate the Christian and the Christian pastor and the Christian church today because it's antithetical to the demonic sensitivities that's found in the world and the system in which we're living today. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as pastors, as churches, Christian churches, we do not lose our Bill of Rights and the constitutional liberties simply because we're a Christian, because we're a pastor, because we're a church. And yet that's the mindset with the political society, the political movement, and the media that's in the hands of the political movement today, the woke cancel culture, and Action News locally falls into that category. I believe I can openly call them a racist news media because they're against a church standing for a Christian conservative black Republican running for the sheriff of Duval County. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.